You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own unless otherwise stated and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today's news story, breaking news story, was the president's speech at the Department of Justice this morning on his proposed reforms to the National Security Agency. I will summarize the bottom line. Literally nothing has changed. All your data is still being collected. In other words, all your emails, all your phone calls, all your text messages, all your photographs, videos, podcasts, financial transactions such as credit cards, all your bank statements, you name it, the federal government has it. It's collecting it. It's storing it in its databases across the United States, including the brand new huge one that is collecting it. And don't take it personally, Americans. It's collecting it for everybody in the world. The way I like to say it, if you like your privacy, the government is going to keep all your communications in its databases. Congratulations, Mr. President. You continue to lie. You never disappoint. You said you're not going to collect our information. Yes, you are collecting it. You're collecting it and storing it. And what they're trying to distract you with is focusing on the metadata. They don't need the metadata. It's very useful to have it, but they literally don't need it. And it doesn't really matter who keeps it, because the essential information is the content. It's the content, not the metadata. I mean, the first one, you know, and I always need to emphasize, the metadata is important. I'm not trying to dismiss it, but that's information. For metadata, for example, for an email message is who sent it, you know, what computer sent it and where it was sent to. But that's important. But what's really important is what was the message. The same thing with the phone conversations. Okay, you have the phone number. You have the duration of the phone number. You have which phone, what phone it was sent from and what phone it was sent to. But what's really important is the phone conversations. The same thing with photographs, podcasts, blog posts. It's the content. It's the content, Mr. President. And the National Security Agency is going to continue to collect, like it's been doing for over 10 years, the content of all American phone calls, emails, photographs, videos, podcasts, any communications that goes over the internet or the telephone exchanges. And for that matter, because it has satellite capability, any information that goes over, for example, on radio waves. What the NSA is building is a massive data collection, a massive collection of as many communications of the world's population as possible. And that will continue. It's status quo. This was, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, it's already been described in some of the newscast as window dressing. It is window dressing. It's a non-starter. I consider it a joke, a farce. It's a 5,000-word speech. No, I've not had time to read the entire speech or listen to it. But I've seen highlights, and I've seen summaries of it. And by next week, I will have had the opportunity to go fine-tune it. But it's abundantly clear by several of the key statements that the president makes that he's lying. He is lying. They are collecting and storing your... For example, this broadcast is being streamed over the internet as I speak. That will be collected by the NSA and stored in one of its data centers. How do they do it? It's very simple. Everything goes over fiber optic cables. They have the equivalent of a splitter. One of the secret documents that Edward Snowden released was he released just eight slides of a top secret presentation. And it looks like it's an orientation presentation for new people that are unfamiliar with the program as to what the National Security Agency is collecting and who it's collecting it from and how it's collecting it from it. And what it does, if it's gone, it's a light. Think of it this way. It's being communicated over fiber optic cables. And they have the technology to split it where, think of it this way, a stream is coming down with all your information. To the left, it goes to whoever you were directing it to. It goes on its way, if you will. But a duplicate of everything that's being communicated over that channel or over that fiber optic is then directed, a duplicate is directed to the data storage center or the data center that the National Security Agency wants to store this information. And then it's put on hard drives, servers, so at some later date it can be accessed. You need to understand that, because I've listened to a lot of commentary, and one of the problems you have, most of these journalists are, not all of them, but most of them, frankly, don't understand the technology, don't understand data mining, don't understand databases, and they really make no attempt to, as far as I'm concerned, to figure it out. So the focus, and the president's trying to do it, is focus on the metadata. That's not the important point. They have copies of every message you have communicated over your phone networks, whether it's cell phone or landlines, and everything you've communicated that was sent, that you have sent, as well as you have received, and it's storing it. Now, for many of you, that's mind-boggling. They can do that? They can really do that? Yes, not only they can, they've been doing it for years. My best estimate that this program was going full bore sometime in the 2002-2003 time frame. And they're doing this with the major telecom companies, as well as internet service providers, as well as companies like Microsoft, Google, Facebook, to name a few, Apple. And they're doing it in the name of national security. We got to collect all this. We don't know who are the bad guys. So we're going to collect it on everybody. And the point I keep making is, okay, in the United States today, and as the estimate is, there's about 318 million people. It could be higher or lower, but that's a fairly good ballpark. Over 300 million of those people, over 300 million, are good Americans. They're law-abiding Americans. And that's the simple fact. And it's their privacy that's being invaded, and it's being continued to be invaded. There has been no change in that. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No change. You know, he was supposedly the president of change and hope. There's no hope and no change. This is business as usual, status quo for the National Security Agency. That's the bottom line. All these five so-called reforms are window dressing. They don't deal with the fundamental problem, and that is the federal government is massively invading everyone's privacy, not just all Americans, everyone in the entire world. Now, I need to say this now before I continue with it. I support the National Security Agency. I want them to be doing their primary mission, which is to gather intelligence and spy on the enemies of the United States, the people that do not wish the American people or our country well, the sworn enemies of our country and its people. All countries throughout history have had intelligent networks that spy on the enemy. It's usually the military forces, but as well as the government. All nations engage in it. They have to protect their people, to protect their nation, to protect the sovereignty of the nation. I want the National Security Agency to succeed in that. They have a lot on their plate. Because the United States has millions, if not tens of millions, some would say hundreds of millions, of potential enemies. And what you need to do is prioritize which are the ones that are the greatest threats to the United States. And they're doing this, and put them on the target list and gather intelligence on them. And some of their communications will be sent into the United States and will be going over those same optic fiber lines as well as telephone networks that law-abiding citizens use. I want their communications intercepted. And I think I'm not alone. I think the overwhelming majority of American citizens support what the National Security Agency is doing in their primary mission of gathering intelligence as well as decrypting coded messages, because most of the enemies of the United States, especially if they're governments, use encryption to make sure other people can't read their communications. So the National Security Agency, first step in most, not all their communications, but the communications that are encrypted, and those tend to be definitely anything foreign governments and military forces are engaged in, they try to do on secure lines of communication and use encryption. So I'm relying on the National Security Agency to have the capability to decrypt it. It's not an easy task. And you're talking, you know, millions of messages. You know, if you ask me, who are the major threats to the United States today? Russia, Iran, China, North Korea are the top three or four. But there are other nations and other groups. Some of them are non-government agents. Namely, they're not affiliated with governments. Namely, many of these terrorists, some are in the Al-Qaeda network, some are in the Muslim Brotherhood. You also have dictators. You also have drug dealers and cartels. So I need to make clear, abundantly clear, I'm a big supporter of the National Security Agency and a big supporter that they have the budgets they need to do the job. And I'm not sure they do, or if they do, they're wasting it on this nonsense. Because I really think they're going about this half-assed. Pardon my French. Because what you're doing is building, one metaphor that's being used, that they're building more and more haystacks to find the needle. You see, when you, apparently at some point in time, the National Security Agency made the decision that we're going to collect as much, they're never going to get 100%, but as much information, whether it goes over the telephone networks or whether it goes over the internet, backbone lines, as well as if it goes over radio communications, we can intercept it via satellite and then beam the interceptions back to various data centers that the National Security Agency has. What I'm trying to say, they made a decision, we're going to go after 100%, the goal will be 100% of all communications. Now, the reality is they never going to be able to accomplish that. Never. Why? What do you think China, the Soviet Union, and most nations do? They are acutely aware that the National Security Agency is trying to intercept these communications. So what do? They bury these lines, their communication lines, underground, where you can't get access to it. It's difficult to get access. I'm not saying impossible, but it's difficult because it's A, underground, and many of these cables have security measures, so if someone tries to tamper into it, it's going to set off an alarm. Why do they do that? Because they know if they go send messages in the clear, which would be absolutely stupid, that is, there's a very high probability, if not a certainty, that the National Security Agency will intercept those messages. And they have. You see, one of the challenges, just a little history on the NSA, the Soviet Union, I'm trying to think of the year, I want to say in the 60s, became acutely aware what the United States was doing because they had spies in the United States telling them what the National Security Agency as well as the Central Intelligence Agency were doing. So what they decided to do is have what's called communication security, which meant, especially for the military, if you have to communicate with someone in your chain of command, you will do it with a secure line, which means a landline that's buried. You will not use the radio. You have to have communication discipline, and you absolutely don't do it in the clear. So even though the communications are made over a landline, many, many, if not all, I would say many, not necessarily all, are encrypted. So you got two problems. You can't get access to the actual distribution channel or cable or line. And two, even if you could get access, it's going to be encrypted. So the National Security Agency has three big challenges: how to intercept the message, how to decrypt the message, and because it's going to be in a foreign language, how to interpret, or they need interpreters to, once they have broken the, once they've intercepted the message, once they have decrypted the message so you see it in plain text, then you need translators to translate it into English so that intelligence analysts can make sense or what's going on. And what you need to understand, you're dealing with a very, very large volume of communications or messages. That's an awesome task. That requires a lot of money. It requires a lot of manpower. It requires a lot of hardware and software. And it's ongoing every day, every second, every minute, every hour of a day. And it keeps going and going and going and on. So what happens? What invariably happens? You have a huge backlog, an immense backlog of intercepts that are not read. And these are against true targets, true enemies of the United States and its people. So it's not an enviable task. It's a huge challenge, a difficult challenge. And the National Security Agency employs some of the brightest people around, from linguists to mathematicians that can write the algorithms to access this information, as well as encode information and decode information. They're responsible for code breaking. And this has been going on for decades, actually hundreds of years. But the National Security Agency started under Truman by an executive order, a very secret executive order, and it's continued to this day. Now, what Ed Snowden did, and he was some would call him a traitor, some call him a hero. I call him a whistleblower, a smart whistleblower, was made it very clear to the general public, at least to the people that follow this, exactly the capabilities of the National Security Agency. I always suspected it. As a matter of fact, I had no doubts that they were doing it, but they would never admit it, which is smart on their part. You know, the running joke was the NSA stood for no such agency. And I would say, up until recently, a very, very small percentage of the people, in terms of the American people, even knew what the Central... See, I almost made the mistake. What the National Security Agency did, even though it gets the lion's share of the budget in terms of intelligence gathering. The United States and I think this is another mistake, has come to rely on technology, whether it's intelligence gathering or weapon systems, as the leverage factor in getting information, as opposed to using human intelligence or humans to do it. And that means they have to have the capability of getting first access to the information, storing the information, decrypting or decoding the information if it's in code, translating it into English, and then trying to make some sense of it. And keep in mind just the sheer volume of the messages. So I have very, very mixed feelings on this. I think the National Security Agency should be supported by the president as well as the American people. I'm not one of these people that are calling for, the most radical would be to do away with it. I think that'll never happen, and that would be a huge mistake. Nor am I calling for cutting its budgets or cutting the number of people that work there. My concern is, to some extent, I think the NSA has lost its focus. Remember, up until recently, and I would be the first one to say this, I thought, and I think it's still true, by the way, that the focus of the National Security Agency was spying on people outside the United States, with the only exception being known spies that are in the United States. In other words, not necessarily American citizens, though they could be. Because what governments do, both friendly to the United States as well as sworn enemies of the United States, guess what? They send spies into the United States, whether it's sneaking over the border or flying in as a tourist. That's happening. All nations have done this for hundreds of years. As long as we've had, you know, armies and conquerors, this has been going on. You want to know what your enemy is doing. What are the intentions? What are the capabilities of your adversaries? What are their military capabilities, both in terms of strengths, a number of people, as well as their weapon systems? Are they moving them around? Where are they sending them to? So I applaud and hope the National Security Agency succeeds in these endeavors. And that's why I'm spending some time on it. I think you can lose focus by not understanding the big picture. The president understands the big picture. I understand the big picture. Americans that follow this understand it. I really haven't heard many people, if I can't think of one that's, let's say, in the so-called ruling elite that's calling for the reduction in budget of the National Security Agency. As a matter of fact, I could probably make a pretty good case we should increase it. But with one big proviso, they need to stop what they're doing in terms of the collection and storage of information on law-abiding American citizens. And that's over 300 million people. At best, there's maybe 5% of the population of that 318 million that we should be gathering information on. And that's very, 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 very high. I really don't think it's 5%. We're looking at people that, and we should be focusing and targeting on primarily people that are abroad. That's where the threat's coming from. And yes, while there are, I would think, a significant number of foreign spies in the United States, the FBI, together with the assistance of the National Security Agency, needs to be focused on getting them. But I don't think that justifies in any way the wholesale gathering, so-called bulk collection. And like I said on the last show, the collection of untargeted information. So you need to understand that and get it through your head, that what's going on. And I know I've repeated myself on some of these shows, but I need to repeat it because I listen to how people are commenting upon this. And although there are some noticeable exceptions of people that truly do understand what's going on, many don't. And they tend to focus on the metadata, which is information about the communication, whatever it is, whether it's an email, a telephone conversation, a photograph, a podcast. And that's important information, but it's not the critical information. The critical information is the content. It's the content. Because, listen, you could have the metadata on a message that contains important information, but if you don't have the message, what have you got? You know, a name, a phone number, a location? What's in the message? Why are they communicating? Why is someone in Syria, an Al-Qaeda member, using satellite telephones to communicate to someone in America? That's a very interesting telephone conversation. Or Afghanistan or Pakistan. Or Russia, or China. Yeah, I think the NSA is on the job trying to intercept those communications. This is a very obvious example, and they have the metadata for it. But what do they truly need? They need the telephone conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is common sense. You really want both, and I understand that. You really want both. But who holds the metadata, whether it's the United States government or some independent third party? Huh? Who cares? What I care about is the content of all the messages that I've communicated and you're holding. It's none of your business. You know, generally the American people wish that the government would leave them alone and mind their own business. Not hard to understand. Leave us alone and mind your own business. In other words, it's none of your business. You're violating my Fourth Amendment rights. How dare you? You see, and I'm sounding like Barack Obama when he was a candidate. Oh, he was really critical of Bush on this. And then he becomes president, and now he's making it much worse. Talk to some of the whistleblowers. Listen to Bill Binney's comments. He used to work for the National Security Agency at a very high level. He's a brilliant individual, worked for over 32 years. He's a mathematician, knows exactly what they're doing. Now, he's been out of the mix for over 10 years, but he understands their capabilities. And he's the one that's pointed out these data centers can hold the meta. He made a comment. The metadata for all these phone conversations could be stored in a small room, a room, not a data center, just a room. You need these huge data centers, and what do the huge data centers have? They have row after row after row after row of servers that have hard drives that are storing this information. Now, are they doing it for, oh, it's fun to do this? This is a very expensive to do, both to build the facility as well as equip it and keep it running. It needs a lot of electricity. It also needs a lot of water to keep the computer hardware cool. A lot of electricity, a lot of air conditioning to keep the equipment cool so it won't heat up and melt or the information be corrupted. And it needs to be continuous, 24/7. So they're going to have backup generators. This is a very expensive operation. But the reason why you build these data centers and equip them with the hardware that they have is they need that storage capability and to be able to access that storage data, when they've targeted individual. And his estimate, it's the entire world's communications for the next 100 years. They have enough storage capability to do that. And I don't doubt him. He's probably in a very, very good position to know this. He knows it's not a very efficient or effective way to go about your mission. It's a very expensive way to do it. And what I mean by that, this hardware is not cheap. Even though storage of information has gone down, down, and down, it's still expensive when you're talking the volumes of information that the National Security Agency is aiming to collect. And it's been collecting it for 10 years. This is just one of many data centers, by the way. And think of it as a massive library. So everything you say over your telephone, it's going to be intercepted. And anything you communicate over the internet, it's going to be intercepted. Should you use a satellite phone, it's going to be intercepted. If you use a radio to communicate, it's going to be intercepted. A telegrams. And even your mail, they are photographing the information on the envelope. Your name and address as well as who's sending it. They're doing that. Now, why are they doing that? Ostensibly to protect us. But what is my concern here? And I've said this on several shows. This is a formula for what I would call instant turnkey tyranny. Instant turnkey tyranny. Now, what do I mean by that? All you need is an unscrupulous president and administration to go after people. In other words, not the primary function or mission of the National Security Agency, because that is true. I agree with their mission or their mission statement and what they've been tasked to do. But you can get people in positions in the White House, in the Justice Department, in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the IRS, as well as the National Security Agency, that are fundamentally corrupt, criminal, and will abuse their power. And if that means going after a person, even though they know it's for political reasons, they'll do it. If they can do it, they're going to do it. Doesn't mean they should do it. And right now, they have that capability. You can be fairly easily targeted. The president issues an order. He's not going to do it himself, by the way. No, it's not done that way. Any president has his network of people, and some of those people obey their oath of office to defend the Constitution, preserve and protect and defend the Constitution. But in any administration, there are people that think they're above the law. Truly believe it. The rules, the regulations, the laws don't apply to them. And I always use the phrase, the ends justify the means. They will do what I call the dirty work of any administration. They'll follow orders. They're the good Nazis. They will salute and follow orders. If the president says we need to target Tom Jones, by God, they're going to make sure that Tom Jones is targeted, even though Tom Jones is a law-abiding American citizen. And they're going to make sure it happens one way or the other. And those individuals, in turn, have a network of people, and they know who works for them that will salute and follow orders. Now, a lot of the people in the bureaucracy are just like you and me. They're law-abiding. They wouldn't do it because they know they shouldn't do it, and they know it's criminal activity. So I always pose the question to anybody, well, which presidents do you trust? I didn't trust LBJ. I didn't trust Richard Nixon. I didn't trust both Bushes, quite frankly. And I certainly don't trust Barack Obama. I don't trust the government, nor do I trust the presidents and the people that work under them. And trust in government has gone down, 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 and down. And the reason is for the fact that whether you like Mr. Snowden or not, he has truly blown the whistle very, very loud by disclosing these top secret slides. And there's a lot of other information. But that's what's gotten everybody's attention, because that has exposed the fact that the federal government today is collecting this information for all Americans. All Americans. Not the bad guys. Not the foreigners. I mean, they should be doing it for the foreigners. And to the extent that you have foreign agents in the United States, yes, they should be targeting them. But the question I have, and a lot of people have, is this the effective way to do it? Show me examples where this, for example, has clearly stopped a terrorist attack. They can't. And I'm not surprised they can't. Yeah, after the fact, once they have some key information, like the name of the individual, his address, phone number, yeah, then they can go back and look at this massive collection. But what I'm interested in is not prosecuting these people. And what the American people are demanding and interested in, I want to stop them before whatever they're trying to do occurs. I don't want another 911. In other words, they need to be focusing on the prevention of attacks by becoming aware when they're planning it what they're doing. And the overwhelming majority of these people are not in the United States. They're abroad. A few of the people that will be actually involved in a future attack, and it's going to happen. I don't know when. I'm not hoping for it. I'm relying on a Central Intelligence Agency as well as the National Security Agency and the Federal Bureau of Investigation to do their jobs and protect the United States and its citizens. Unfortunately, it's failed. On 9/11 was a big intelligence failure. Unfortunately, that is not the only one. There's been a history of this. A history. And what are they doing? They're spending a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of resources, and gather information that are frankly a total waste of time, a total waste of space on any hard drive. Just think about it. I mean, every day I get emails from, half of them are spam. They got it. They got that spam message. And if it's not spam, I still get emails from people I'm never going to respond to. However, there are a few that I do. I'm like all Americans. I rely on email today. Remember, up until around 1995, except if you were on major universities, you didn't use the internet. Really, the internet started to grow in 1995 and has grown bigger, bigger, and bigger, and more popular. And part of that was the popularity of web browsers. I'm looking right now at my post for this show. My notes, and I need to say this, to listen to the show, you go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S www.thebrownstone.wordpress.com. And at the top, you'll have links to the last usually 50 to 60 shows. And below that, you have a complete archive or portfolio of all my shows. And if you click on any one, you'll get additional information. That's how you listen to this show at your convenience. Now, I need to say, and I pointed out this to some of the students here that want to do what I'm doing in terms of largely music. I said, listen, most of the people, the way they come to my site is through a search engine, mainly Google, because I know who's what shows their complete history. This is a WordPress blog. It's a website, but it's a blog. And if you're familiar with WordPress, they give you a wealth of information. You know, how many people visit the site every day, every month, every year? A wealth of information. They also give you information on where the people are coming from, and it's usually as a result of a web search. So I know what both on this blog that is dedicated to this radio show, as well as my principal blog, which is called Pronk Palisades, and the way you get to that is Raymond Pronk, which is my name, raymondpronk.wordpress.com. And that's a much more, because that blog has been in existence for, I think it's gone on 7 years. It's had a lot more visitors. I'm way over a million hits. I'm headed towards 2 million. Hope to hit it by, I'd like to hit it sooner than later, but it's going to be at least a year or two before I get to that. I get a lot of traffic, but hey, I'm really a small fry. But all that information on every one of those posts, the National Security Agency has a copy of. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Yes, I do know what they're doing. A high probability they're going to do absolutely nothing. Just like Obama really did absolutely nothing today about reforming the National Security Agency. What is the National Security Agency going to do about all this information they've collected on me? Absolutely nothing. Why? It's totally useless. I'm not trying to overthrow the government of the United States. I'm not planning any terrorist attacks or bombings. And that's probably over 317 million Americans. I would say the number of people that are really engaged in activity that's designed to hurt the United States and its people are several hundred thousand. I don't think there even breaks a million threshold. They're there. I'm sure they're there because all nations spy. The French do it. The Germans do it. The Brits do it. The Chinese communists do it. The Russians do it. Of course they spy. And I hope the FBI catches them, and I hope the NSA helps the FBI capturing these guys. It's a real threat. But guess what? Other nations, and some of them really, if you're ever captured, you're going to be tortured, jailed, and probably executed. They do the same with the central intelligence agencies that send agents into their nations, controlling other spies in the nation. Most of the spies are locals that are traitors to their country. What's interesting is people that have worked in the bureaucracy, all of them are labeling Snowden a traitor. All of them. Now, I point out, and certain senators are pointing out, wait a minute. When you work for the government, I know I was in the Air Force, you swear an oath to preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. You are not swearing an oath to Barack Obama. And that's very, very important because one of the problems with Germany, the army of Germany, the Wehrmacht, swore an oath to Hitler. Not to their constitution, not to the government, to Hitler. But that's not the way it works in the United States. You swear an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution of the United States. And why am I saying that? That includes the presidents and any elected public officials as well as bureaucrats in any department or agency. You need to make that clear. So if anyone in the government is not doing that, is violating laws, violating regulations, it doesn't matter whether the president ordered it. It's a crime. It is a crime. And I think that's what Snowden did. He was blowing a whistle. That's why they call him whistleblowers. He's calling attention to the fact that the National Security Agency has been gathering this information on all Americans for many, many years, from not only the telephone companies, but from your internet service providers and some of the technology firms such as Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, PayPal. And on past shows, I have in my notes the slides that you can look at. I haven't put them here. I might reconsider doing that, but that's important to understand. And that's how I view Snowden, as a whistleblower. It's clear he's broken the law. I understand that. What they don't want to talk about and address, including the president, is why he did it. He knew what he was doing. And again, I don't make him a hero. But the reason he did it the way he did it, he saw how the United States in the past has treated whistleblowers such as Bill Binney, who worked for the National Security Agency for 32 years, as well as Thomas Drake and others. The federal government targeted them, broke into their homes. And what precipitated that? There was a news story in the New York Times from and the source was another whistleblower. They had the wrong whistleblower. But they suspected a number of people, and they went after him. And they did have a search warrant. You know, Bill Binney tells the story when they broke in, he was taking a shower, broke into his home, and he's disabled, by the way. And the FBI, the commander of that unit that broke in, made a mistake. He asked the question he shouldn't have asked in front of the people that broke in with gun drawn. Do you know anyone in the federal government that has committed other crime, is engaged in criminal activity? And he says, yes, I do. He started with the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, the Director of the National Security Agency, I believe it was General Michael Hayden, and went down the line. And he was right. They were doing warrantless searches at the direction of the Vice President of the United States, which he was really carrying the orders out of the president. And they're doing it today. You know, Barack Obama, when he was a candidate, was highly critical of this. Now he's made it worse because Bill Binney has been interviewed many times. And one time he was asked, well, has it gotten worse, better or worse under Obama? He says many, many orders of magnitude worse. He should know, even though he hasn't worked for the NSA for over 10 years, he knows their capabilities. He knows the technology. He knows what they're capable of and what they're doing. He's followed it, as have others. And Barack Obama has a well-deserved reputation of going after leakers. See, no one in power likes leakers. Why? What are leakers are usually leaking? At a minimum, they're leaking information that would really be big-time embarrassing to the administration. But they also leak information about what is criminal activity. Another way to say that, if you're engaged in criminal activity, or you engaged in actions that if they became public would be highly embarrassing, if not destroy your administration and political career, guess what? You want to go after those people. You will sick the FBI on them, the IRS on them. And this president has done that. That's why I don't trust him. And he lied today. We're not collecting information on you. Oh, yes, you are. Come on, Barack. Stop the BSing. You know, he would have to say and demonstrate that we're no longer going to have bulk collection of information on untargeted Americans. He's never going to say that or anything approaching that. And he needs to take it one step further. And we're going to erase all that information that we've collected. You are? It's never going to happen, folks. It's never going to happen. They love this capability. The power control freaks, including our president, love this capability because it can be used to gain leverage on anyone that is targeted. That's what it's used for. And I know some of you, frankly, lack imagination. Many of you do not, but a few of you, and I've heard it several times. Well, I don't mind them going after the terrorists and getting this information. And if that means I let them have my information, I'm fine with that. You know, my life's an open book. I'm a law-abiding citizen. Yeah, but what happens if you become a target? What does that mean? They're going to get all your information, and then they're going to try to get leverage for whatever reason, usually to discredit you or to put pressure on you to provide information or inform on other people. It's not a willy-nilly situation. Who would they go after? Anyone that is critical in any way of the current administration. It doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or Democrat. No one likes critics. No one likes people like me focusing people's attention on what they're doing. Believe me, they hate it. They despise it. They dislike it. And if they could shut me up or Rush Limbaugh up or Mark Levin or Sean Hannity or Michael Savage, Charlie Jones here in Dallas, I can go on, and on. They would. A tyrant would. A dictator would. And what do we have? We have the instant turnkey tyranny. Instant turnkey tyranny. All it takes is to make you a target. And if you can't appreciate what that means, there are two movies to watch. And I've said this on other programs. The first one, it's a better movie. They're not great movies, but they truly will sensitize you to the problem. One is Enemy of the State. It's a good movie, but it's not a great movie. I'd call it a B, maybe a B plus. Now, last night, almost by accident, I did not go looking for this movie, but somehow, and this has happened to me many, many times when I'm preparing and searching for things, you know, one link leads to another, So for whatever reason, I ran across this movie called The Net, and I've never heard of it. But I quickly went to YouTube, and it was on YouTube. I could listen to the whole, or watch and listen to the whole movie. Now, it's not a great movie. It's probably a C, maybe a C plus at best. It's not a great movie in and of itself. But if you want to, and this movie, I don't even know the year of it. My guess is it was a movie in the 70s. This was 30, 40 years ago. And I'm not going to spoil the movie, but you need to watch it if you have some time. First, view Enemies of the State, and then view The Net. And this was a lady. It was played by Susan Bullock, who was a systems administrator and got a hold of a program that she shouldn't have got a hold of. And this wasn't the government. I need to say this. It wasn't the government that was going after. It was a private organization. But it does illustrate a point. They were trying to kill her because she got a hold of some information that she shouldn't have got a hold of quite accidentally. She was sent file. She worked for a company as a freelancer, was sent a file, you know, look at it. And the guy was going to come visit her, fly down, and see they can put their heads together to figure out what exactly this software was doing. Well, the guy flew down in his plane and was killed. Now, like I said, it's not a great movie, but it's very important to sensitize you to the extent and lengths an outfit of the National Security Agency, not a private firm. A private firm could do this, but the government and especially the national security could do this much better. You see, most of the information on you is online in various databases, and it can be accessed and it can be changed. For example, you could falsify records. People can break in, so-called hackers, but they're really crackers, break in and change information. If they can get access to critical databases, they can change your medical records, your criminal records if you have one. And if you don't, they can put crimes on it. So when a police officer pulls you over for a normal traffic stop and runs a check on you, suddenly warrants pop up for crimes that you didn't commit. But because they had the capability of getting access, you could find yourself arrested. It's a nightmare. So keep an open mind. And remember, this is entertainment. And the capabilities we're talking about are 20, 30, 40 years ago. We've had dramatic increases of our capability both in hardware and software, and dramatic increases in budget and understanding and knowledge how to do this. 30 years ago, we couldn't have done this. Or we had the potential, but it's somewhat mind-boggling. Today, both of those movies, no matter how you rate them as a movie is not the important point. It's just to, I like to say, open your mind to what could happen. What is the potential of these technologies? And the potential is, and the danger, and it's a clear and present danger to the liberties and freedom of the American people, is this database. Is this the collection of information? Because in the wrong hands, it can be used to literally destroy you and destroy your loved ones. And that's something you need to understand. One way they gain leverage on you is to go after your friends, your family, your loved ones. And both movies illustrate that. That's just part of the danger. So you might be a hard case. You're not intimidated. You're in your face. In other words, you stand up to your rights. But guess what? You probably have friends, family, loved ones that you don't want to see hurt. And this technology can be used to hurt them. You don't think you're not using this technology to hurt foreign nationals? We most certainly are. We're killing them. Killing them. Why? Because they've shown behavior and activity that indicates they don't wish as well. You see, that's the danger. All this technology that up until fairly recently, who knows the exact date that they sort of started to change the focus? Some would say it's after 9/11. I'm not sure of that at all. I think a lot of this was done much earlier than that. But I'm somewhat of a pessimist. We have people that have rose-colored glasses, very naive, that don't think this is not America. We don't do this. And I agree, we shouldn't be doing this. The NSA has been targeting for collection and storage all the information of Americans. That's why Americans fought, one of the reasons they fought the American Revolution was that was what the British were doing to the colonials, your ancestors. They were writing general warrants and walking into people's homes and searching them for papers and arms, whatever. No judge was involved, and that's why today we have the Fourth Amendment that requires a warrant be obtained from a judge that prevents the police from doing what the British soldiers were doing in colonial America. The so-called general warrant. And that was what President Bush was doing, that's George W., through Cheney and through the National Security Agency, were issuing warrantless searches. That was the scandal under his administration. It's continued, folks. It's expanded. Nothing has changed. This 5,000-word speech that Obama delivered over 43 minutes has changed nothing, will change nothing. It's a joke, and he's lying to you again. Like I say, if you like your privacy, the government will keep your privacy safe at an NSA dinner center such as the one in Bluffdale, Utah. That's what's going on, and it's continuing. And Congress needs to address it. My problem, and I've listened to some videos in preparing this show, and it is a concern. I think all Americans should be extremely mad, outraged about this. But on reflection, I thought about it, because what the commentator was saying, and he was a little bit surprised too, it doesn't seem that many Americans are getting exercised about that. Well, that's not true. I listen to a lot of talk radio. Believe you me, a lot of Americans are outraged about it. Where I don't see the outrage, and here's the problem, the ruling elite in Washington, D.C., the leadership of both political parties are truly, most of them are not going to do anything about this. They went along with it. They went along with it. Now, they're beginning to understand that a lot of people are upset about it, really upset. Part of the problem is many of these congressmen and senators truly don't understand it. They don't. That's a little amazing in and of itself. You really have to be quite clueless not to understand what's going on. It's not that difficult to explain. Really, it isn't. Now, the technical details are way beyond any representative or senator and way beyond my capabilities. But I have a fundamental understanding of those capabilities and truly know that there are a lot of smart people, programmers, as well as people that specializes in the hardware aspects of this that can write the programs, the instructions, the what's needed to get access to this information. You see, they're not just collecting and storing it. They got to get access to it, and they have to get access fairly quickly. So you have programs or applications being written to query or data mine this huge collection. You see, this is done in the private world as well. Companies do this. They want to know who's buying what products, and they collected a lot of information, and they data mine. A matter of fact, I know just because I used to be a programmer. I'm not a programmer anymore, although I occasionally keep my hand in. We have a university in Dallas called SMU, Southern Methodist University, which ironically is where George Bush's presidential library is located. And they have a program on data mining. Surprise, surprise. I wonder why. This is a specialty, folks. And that's sort of what we're talking about here. But it's taken to a much, much higher level. Because that's what they're doing. When they target you, they're data mining. They're data mining this massive collection of all your communications, all your messages, all your files. And I'll repeat it again. That's not only your emails. A lot of the focus is on your emails and your phone calls. They have copies of both. Forget about the metadata for a minute. They have copies of both. But they also want your photographs. They also want your videos. They want your podcasts. They want your financial records. They want your bank statements. They want your medical records. They want your educational records. They want everything. This is a wholesale invasion of your privacy. And most of this information is, for all practical purposes, totally worthless in defending this country. I'll go on a limb. I would say about 98 to 99% of all that information they collected is totally worthless in preventing any attack on the United States, including a terrorist attack. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. But because they can do it, they're going to do it. It's convenient. And they've taken this approach since at least 2002, if not earlier. Anyone that understands this will tell you this is not an efficient way to do it. It's very much a CYA approach after the fact. You know, after they've identified who is attacking us, they can go query the databases, and they might or might not have anything in it. You know, this is very much a lawyer police mentality on this. With the aim is to arrest someone and try them. It's a wrong approach for this reason. Most of the people that are doing harm are military. We're talking war here, and that's what you need to fear. You also need to fear agents that are not connected to any governments, so-called terrorists like Al-Qaeda groups. They want to kill us, and we need to kill them or stop them any way we can. We're not going to arrest them and try them and put them away. And that's the lawyer, the problem, and the only reason I'm bringing this up. We have, unfortunately, a large number of attorneys in administrations, in the bureaucracies, and in Congress. They think like lawyers. Most of them, the overwhelming majority, have never been in the military. And even if they have not been in war, have not been in battles. You see, in war, one of the aims is they're trying to kill you and you're trying to kill them. And you're trying to destroy their capabilities, which means destroy their weapons caches, destroy their weapons, destroy their people. And if we're engaged in total war, we go after the civilian population as well. I'm not in favor of war. I'm just trying to tell you the reality. We're not going to try them. We're trying to kill them. And that's the mission of the armed forces, to kill people and break things, destroy their capability. And the way you win is total victory. Not the way we've been doing it in both Iraq and Afghanistan. You see, what we have here is a failure of foreign policy, a failure of intelligence to gather the actionable intelligence to prevent a 911. And let me say quickly, in defense of the national security, a large percentage of the so-called actionable intelligence, in other words, they can use it to do something about it, has come from the National Security Agency. There have been books written about this. and I've read many of them, not all of them. They've had successes, and they should be applauded. It pains me to be saying what I'm saying today on this show. It truly does pain me, because I'm a big supporter of the Central Intelligence Agency as well as the National Security Agency, because I know or have a sense of what we're up against. But it also pains me when they turn this capability on the American people in the manner they did, and starting with the George Bush administration and continuing today. Because if you continue down this path, which is exactly what we're doing, you are running the high risk that someday soon, if not already, you will have a tyrant that's unscrupulous that will use this capability. And by strictly legal definition, be breaking the law in the name of national security. I'm doing it to protect you. You heard that in the speech. Because if we don't protect you, you're going to criticize us. No, what I want is the National Security Agency to focus like a laser beam on its primary mission and leave the American people alone. Do not invade their privacy. You need to totally rethink how you're collecting this information, how you're going about it. You need to really focus on who are the high probability targets that are going to do harm, real harm to the United States. That is the focus. Do you have the correct languages, for example, for the linguist? I know they don't. They don't. Remember, it's three steps. You have to collect it by an, you got to intercept it. If it's encoded, and most of the time it is, you got to decode it. And then you need someone to translate it to English, because I don't understand Arabic, and I certainly don't understand the various dialects, just to use one example. So you're going to need linguists or translators to translate it into English. All of this requires people and money. And what invariably happens, especially after a war ends, for example, in Vietnam, what happened to the NSA? Its budgets went down, and the number of people that they had went down. So what happened, for example, when George Bush took us into Iraq, we sent interpreters, linguists, people that can speak more than one language, including English, in the military, that are in the reserves, we sent them to Iraq. But the problem is, did they speak Iraq? No, we've had Spanish linguists or interpreters, South Korean, Korean, Japanese, Chinese, German, Russian. We had very, 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 very few Arabic with being able to speak the Iraqi dialects. And the only ones they could were, guess what, Iraqis that are in the United States. And good luck getting them past the security clearance. You see the problem, ladies and gentlemen? Now, what you can do is build the software that can automate this, that can do the interpretation. That's not easy. There are people working on that. I know that for a fact. And that's all I'm going to say. Because right now, one of the bottlenecks is getting people that can read these messages. Yeah, you can intercept them, store it, collect it, decode it, and you're getting many, many messages. But somebody has to read it. Someone has to listen to it. And they got to be able to understand it way early on in high school. I'm not good in languages in terms of foreign languages. I don't have that. That's one of my weaknesses. And I think part of it is I really have not focused in on it. But I think I was in my sophomore year. I was taking French, but I wanted to take Russian, which has a different alphabet. I was atrocious in foreign languages. And my instructor, I still remember him to this day. There's a gentleman called Peter Lang. He was a British. I was in Taipei, Taiwan. He was both my math teacher and my Russian teacher. He also taught Latin. He was very good in languages. He was very, very good in math. And he knew I was very, very good in math. He knew I was a focused, hardworking student. But he also knew I was terrible, atrocious, reading, writing, and speaking Russian. And he made that clear to my parents. Raymond is very good in math, but not so good. As a matter of fact, absolutely terrible in Russian. He should drop it. He wasn't my French instructor, by the way. I was okay in French, but Russian, no way. And I had a friend that was taking Latin with him. And the instructor was tough. I need to say this. This instructor was real tough. Teacher. I call him instructor. He's a teacher. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, I'm like many Americans that we speak English, and that's about it. The real shortage and bottleneck is there are literally dozens of languages that even if you collect, store the information, decode the information, have it in, and you have tons of these things, they're sitting there being unread. Why? They don't have literally the people to read it. You're going to have a priority. And they just build up, and what happens? They're never really read. They're never really listened to. And now what we're doing, we're compounding that problem by collecting that not only on the American people, but the entire world. Do you see the problem here? Who's paying for all this? We are. To add insult to injury, we are. I think we need some fundamental changes here. Some rethinking of the entire approach. This is not working. And we're giving up our liberties. We're really running a high risk. It only takes one tyrant to get in power and really destroy this country. And some would say he's already in power. I'm not going to go that far yet, but we're close. And to run roughshod over the American people. In other words, target people, not because they're a threat to the United States, but because they're a potential threat to the politician in terms of pointing out his shortcomings, embarrassing activities, such as what happened in Benghazi. And one thing I'll say about that, and I'll reiterate it because I really covered it in the last show, I've had a little bit more time to look into the United States Senate's Intelligence Committee's report, bipartisan report, and a number of people are pointing out this, that they're blaming the State Department, and Hillary Clinton is only mentioned once. And that's been said by several people, several commentators. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that's not important, but that whole report is a distraction. It does not deal with the central question. Why was the Central Intelligence Agency there in Syria? Now, I've told you why. Not only to gather intelligence on the various militias and people that were there, many of them Al-Qaeda affiliated, because Benghazi and the surrounding area has become a refuge for Al-Qaeda or organizations that are affiliated with Al-Qaeda. That is just a fact. But their primary mission was to ship arms and men to Syria to fight in the Syrian civil war. And the weapons included, for example, shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles that can bring down not only military aircraft, such as fighters, helicopters, transport planes, but also airliners. And Gaddafi had purchased over the years. Remember, he was in power for a long time and had billions of dollars to spend on weapons because he got a lion's share of the oil revenues. He had accumulated, by our own government's estimate, somewhere between 10 and 20,000 of these surface-to-air missiles. And guess what? The people that attacked our diplomatic facility in Benghazi, as well as the CIA annex, broke into those storage facilities, whether they were lockers, vaults, whatever, supply warehouses, and got a hold of not only surface-to-air missiles, but rocket-propelled grenades, as well as mortars, a lot of ammunition, rifles, pistols, machine guns, you name it. Gaddafi had tons of that, tons. And the CIA was sent in as a direct result of a presidential secret finding to do this. And who knew of this? Eight people in the Congress. You see, that's what's being covered up. Because if this was ever made public, and they do not want to make this public, and the ruling elite is going out of its way to make sure it's never made public, this government would fall. And what I mean by that, he would be impeached. Why? Let me make it real clear. So we went into Libya to overthrow Gaddafi. We gave them the rebels arms to do it. They succeeded, and now but they got hold of all these weapons, and a lot of them are sworn enemies of the United States. They're Al-Qaeda. They're religious fanatics, Islamic religious fanatics. They hate us, and we're shipping the arms to Syria to give to Syrian rebels. Many of them, most of them, are also religious fanatics and members of Al-Qaeda. Are you crazy? And many of these weapons could be smuggled into the United States. Are you out of your mind? That's what's going on. That is a fail, and I won't sugarcoat it. It's a very stupid and dangerous, reckless foreign policy. It could start a world war. Who are the allies of Assad? And I'm not a friend of Assad. If he dies and his regime falls, terrific. The problem with that civil war, there are no good guys on either side. None of us like us. And one side, Assad, has a massive supply of weapons of mass destruction, chemical as well as biological. He doesn't, to the best of my knowledge, he doesn't have nuclear because the Israelis have bombed it more than once. So he has two out of three and has a lot of it, and it's dispersed. And if what happened in Libya happens in Syria, what happens? Al-Qaeda and these terrorists get a hold of chemical and biological weapons? Some would say they already have. The risk, and it's a real risk, that the weapons that Gaddafi had, now in the hands of Al-Qaeda, could find their way into the United States, could bring down airliners, for example. And some of these chemical and biological weapons could find their way into the United States. You see why I strongly support the National Security Agency? That is where their attention should be focused. Not on gathering your emails, your photographs, your videos, your podcasts, whatever, your phone calls. Come on, get off it. The only reason you do this is eventually turn it on the American people to get leverage on them, to put pressure on them, to blackmail them for whatever reason. And it will be political reason. Because if the capability exists, guess what? There's a high probability it will be used. All you need is an unscrupulous president and people in his administration. And ask yourself the question I posed in the last show. Would you trust Lyndon Baines Johnson? Absolutely not. Would you trust Richard Nixon? Absolutely not. Would you trust George Bush? No, I would not, sad to say. Nice gentleman, but he's responsible for what the NSA is doing today. And so is Cheney. Sorry, I don't trust him. And he's also responsible for the fiscal responsibility, the unbalanced budget. That's why I'm not a Republican anymore. I've been a conservative since Goldwater and a libertarian for many, many years. I don't trust these big interventionist government statists. They're all about power. They're all about expanding the size and the scope of the federal government. And if that's what you're about, you love what the National Security Agency has the capability of doing, because they can go after anyone in the United States and put a considerable amount of pressure, leverage, blackmail against them for whatever reason. And it's only a matter of time that this will be politicized. The IRS has already been politicized. We've already had scandals such as Fast and Furious and Benghazi. And they're stonewalling on both of them. The federal government, the Department of Justice, has been stonewalling Congress and trying to get to the bottom of it. But there are leaders in the Congress, both Republicans and Democrats, that don't want to get to the bottom of it. We should have a select committee investigating Benghazi. We don't, because that's what you need. And that is a huge scandal. And they don't want it to break out, confirm the fact what the Central Intelligence Agency was doing, because if the American people ever truly becomes completely aware of what the consequences of both Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's foreign policy is, and what danger, clear and present danger, that has resulted in, people will be calling for their heads. I mean impeachment. Now, granted, Hillary Clinton is no longer in the administration, but everything I'm hearing, she's thinking about running. I think there's a more than a 50-50 chance that she won't. because I think Benghazi is a scandal that, frankly, even though we've had this report coming out this week, remember, this is a wrap-up show. It's not over with. They haven't really scratched the surface. You see, Ambassador Stevens was the cover. He was using diplomatic cover to run arms to Syria, just like he ran arms into Libya. And he paid the ultimate price. He's dead, as well as three other Americans. You see, what I see being replayed, and I need to wrap up the show, where this kind of, how should I say this? I ran in the 50s, the Central Intelligence Agency ran a covert operation to overthrow Mossadegh and put the Shah in power. It was a very inexpensive operation. It was a very successful operation, and it lasted for many decades until the Shah was overthrown. They learned the wrong lesson there. Their lesson, man, this is easy to do. It's cheap. It works. Let's do it in other countries. And they rubbed their hands together, and guess what? That's what they did. Until the people in those countries pushed back, and they pushed back big time. So what? And I think that's what is happening. Libya was somewhat easy to do. It was expensive, but not very expensive. It was successful. Gaddafi's dead. But what has replaced him? We have a very unstable situation, frankly, a very dangerous situation throughout Libya. The Benghazi area has become a refuge for religious fanatics that are primarily affiliated or part of Al-Qaeda, and it's spreading. We have a failed foreign policy. That's what Barack Obama does not want exposed. He will do anything to make sure that Benghazi is buttoned up, including hiding throughout the world the 36 Central Intelligence employees and contractors that were there, that know exactly why they were there. They knew what they were doing and why they were doing it and what happened. He doesn't want those people to testify. Neither does the Central Intelligence Agency, and for that matter, neither does the National Security Agency. You don't sign secret findings to engage in covert operations. The last thing you want is the press, the media, as well as Congress to have hearings on that. And unfortunately, the ruling elite, both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, are doing the best to cover this up. And one of the things they did was their report this week. It basically, to summarize it, it blamed it on the State Department. No, it's not really the State Department's fault. It's the President of the United States ordering a Central Intelligence Agency covert operation into Benghazi, as well as not protecting the ambassador. And that covert operation was blown sky high. We haven't heard the details. Many in the press have gotten bits and pieces of what happened. Namely, arms were being shipped by both freighters and transports, planes, to Turkey and then subsequently transshipped into Syria. But we haven't gotten the details. We certainly haven't gone through the manifest of what was shipped and what quantities, such as surface-to-air missiles, and where these weapons ultimately ended up. And where they could ultimately end up is in the United States. Please don't have that happen. But it's a distinct possibility. You see, that is what the White House doesn't want exposed. That is a tremendous... Benghazi is a tremendous scandal. But the focus has been on the State Department and the four people that died and what led up to it. The focus has not been on the Central Intelligence Agency's operation there, covert operation there. There have been a few questions answered, but not in open session. And I seriously doubt even in classified or behind door session. However, the leadership, at least eight people and probably more, but at least eight people in Congress, your heads of those intelligence committee in the Senate and the House, as well as the leadership, knew why the CIA was there. That's why they don't want a select committee, because the American people are going to ask, you authorized this? You didn't stop this? You let them go ahead and do it with the potential of starting World War III and the potential of these weapons coming back into the United States? Are you out of your mind? You see, what I'm looking for is some adult supervision. What I'm seeing is an out-of-control, very reckless and cavalier attitude regarding serious weapons that could be directed at Americans as well as Europeans. It is a scandal. It's reckless behavior. It's arrogant behavior. And the president lied about it. Lied about it. He lied about it. Why? To get reelected. It's all about power, folks. The president, Barack Obama, lied about it in September after Benghazi. So did Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So did United Nations Ambassador, U.S. United Nations Ambassador Susan Wright. So did his press secretary, Jay Carney. It was all about the video. It was a spontaneous protest and demonstration that just got a little out of hand. And suddenly you had rocket-propelled grenades, mortars, and burning of the diplomatic facility. Oh, that was a spontaneous demonstration. I've been to some protests and marches. I don't usually actively participate, but I've observed them. I've never seen one that they bring rockets, rocket-propelled grenades, weapons. You see, the president knew, the Secretary of State knew from the get-go, from the very, very beginning of this, that it was an planned, organized, a terrorist attack by an Al-Qaeda affiliated organization, Anwar Sharia. I'm sorry I butchered that. The whole chain of command knew it, including the commander-in-chief. He lied. Why? We had an election in less than 2 months, and he was saying to the Americans, I have killed bin Laden, and we have Al-Qaeda on the run. No, he didn't. He was informed by his own Central Intelligence Agency, as well as his commanders and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, literally within less than an hour, that this was a planned, organized attack. So the two major stories this week, and I'm going to wrap it up, are the report of the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee at what happened at Benghazi. The problem is it's a half a report. I would say, well, where's the other half on the Central Intelligence Agency and what it was doing? Why haven't we heard from at least several, if not 36, of the people that were there as to what they were doing? Why were they there? Taxpayer money was spent. What were they doing? They were shipping arms to Syria. They don't want that on the record. They don't want the American people, the American public, to know it. I know it, and many people that follow this know it, but they don't want to admit it. And both parties are guilty or not focusing on this and not pursuing it and pounding the table and not screaming but talking to the press. And the press is big-time accomplices in covering this up. They covered it up during the elections, and they're covering it up today. You see, they're scapegoating the State Department. Excuse me, who runs the State Department? Who's in charge of the state? Hillary Clinton's in charge. And who does Hillary Clinton report to? The President of the United States. Didn't see much mention of Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. It's like it's just this independent bureaucracy that works on its own. And the problem is that shouldn't a focus of the investigation should have been on the State Department. There's a lot of blame on the State Department in not providing adequate security. As a matter of fact, not even sending the ambassador here. But there's a reason why he was there, and that's the other half of the investigation that they're not doing. There's no report on that. I didn't see much information on the Central Intelligence Agency other than the mention of the CIA annex, but usually the sections that dealt with the CIA were blacked out. Why were they there? What were they doing? And there's literally dozens of other questions. I'm just giving you the top ones. So that was the number one, as far as my mind, a more important story. Today we had a speech of the president, a 5,000 words, over 5,000 word speech, lasted 43 minutes, and basically what he said, we're not going to do really much, if anything. It's business as usual. The NSA's fine with this. It's a joke, folks. They're disrespecting the American people. They're threatening your liberties. They're threatening your safety. These should be major issues. Benghazi, and the National Security Agency in the upcoming election. And I want to know what our representatives and senators are really doing about it. Because I'll tell you, folks, I don't see much. They're letting the president get away with this. That's truly what's happening. And he can smile and lie all he wants. But the people that follow this know exactly what he's doing. And we run a real danger that this can easily turn political. And if you don't believe me, go to the IRS scandal. I think when history is written, President Obama's 8 years, if he lasts 8 years, will go down as one of the most corrupt, failed presidency in our history. Now, there have been several failed presidencies, but his economic policies have failed. His foreign policy, frankly, is a disaster. And I don't feel safer. I really don't. I feel threatened by I don't trust the government. I feel threatened by the government, what they could do. Now, I'm trying to be realistic here. Do I truly think they're going to go after me? No, I don't. They have much bigger fish to fry. They'll go over, if they go, once they start it, then what you're talking about, should they try to politicize this and target their critics? We're talking civil unrest, and I don't even want to go there. But it is a clear and present danger that these capabilities can be misused. And if they have the capability, they'll use it. They had the capability of sending the CIA into both Libya and used to ship arms into Syria. And guess what? They used it. It was there. They used it. And you need to learn from history. President Kennedy's big failure was the Bay of Pigs. Castro pushed back. The Bay of Pigs was an invasion of Cuba by, again, this was a good example of a Central Intelligence Agency covert operation that went bad, just like Benghazi went bad. People pushed back. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I hope to be better prepared next week. I'm making a note. I'm behind on getting the shows posted, mainly because I have a limited amount of time. Basically, I can't do any post-production in the evenings, and that's when I usually do the post-production, so I can post it that day. Next week starts the semester, Tuesday. I really hope to be all caught up by Tuesday, and then henceforth, you'll have all the shows the same day I broadcast them. Thank you for listening. I hope it's been educational, informative, hopefully enlightening, and a little bit entertaining, but this was a rather serious show. Thank you, and now back to the music.